The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Ashland.
Trump administration, of course, starting to pursue accountability for previous administration officials. Good time to talk with Mike McCormick. Mike McCormick, former White House insider, and we're going to talk with him about not only his brand new book, which is called An Almost Insurmountable Evil. And first off, Mike, welcome to the program. Good to have you on. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Hey, before we get into some of the current concerns we've had about what was going on in the Biden administration, tell me about being a White House stenographer. So you were Joe Biden's stenographer, so you had to follow him around everywhere he went, or was it on certain things? What do you do when you're a White House stenographer, to start with? All right.
Well, it's an unusual job, but you get to work in the best place in the world to work, which is the American White House. I started there in 2002 as a contractor. Basically, it was like a court reporting operation, but we worked for the press office. And so whenever there was the president or the vice president would do an interview with the press or a speech, or even in the daily briefing, when the press secretary walked out and did the daily briefing, me or someone from our office would be in that room with a recorder recording it. And then we would go and have a transcript made. And then once the transcript was made, it went up on the website. So it was a really interesting process. We traveled around the world with the vice president and the president, and with Joe Biden.
So you're on Air Force One and Air Force Two all the time, right? This is what you're doing for a living, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes on Air Force One and Air Force Two, but also on the press charter with the press as a like part of the press group. And so with Joe Biden, I traveled with him on Air Force Two. Whenever I went on with the vice president, I went Air Force Two.
Okay.
And I worked with him from 2011 through 2017.
Okay,
went with him to Ukraine, China, Russia, all around.
You know, and I guess, are there non-disclosures that you can't talk about everything you heard? You know, like when you talked about going to Ukraine as an example, which we know after the fact now, was kind of some allegedly dirty dealing going on. Fair enough?
Oh, absolutely allegedly. Not even allegedly. I mean, I'm saying I witnessed a crime. And no, there's no disclosure because my role was with the press. So everything I saw was only in front of the press. It wasn't behind the scenes. So it's a public-facing job.
Okay, so it wasn't like if Joe Biden's talking to someone from Burisma, you know, that you're not in on that, right, necessarily, that kind of thing?
That's right. But what happened was 3 years ago, I was given a copy of the Hunter Biden laptop. And that's when I started seeing the crimes Joe Biden committed with his staffers and with Hunter Biden in Ukraine, with Burisma, with other organizations. And that's what I wrote about. I wrote a book that came out last year. It's called The Case to Impeach and Imprison Joe Biden. And it laid out pretty well why Joe Biden should have been impeached. He never was. I tried to get that in front of the special counsel, David Weiss, and they ignored me because they weren't really there to investigate Hunter Biden's crimes. They were there to cover for his crimes. Mm. And that's why Joe Biden had to pardon him.
And that became an Amazon bestseller,
the details,
right?
That I had. Sorry, what was that?
That became an Amazon bestseller, by the way, that one, right?
It was, yeah. It's in one of those categories per, you know, it goes up into the Amazon, becomes a bestseller, and then, you know, somebody else writes a book and it gets pushed down. So yeah, but it's done really well. It's absolute evidence. And I'll give you an example.
Sure.
So in April 2014, I'm flying an Air Force Two. We are going into Ukraine for the first time. Jake Sullivan, who was then Vice President Biden's national security advisor, comes to the back of the plane to talk to the press. They ask him, what energy assistance is Joe Biden bringing to Ukraine? And Jake Sullivan answers with four things. Two of them directly benefited Burisma Holdings. At the time, no one on the plane, of the press, or maybe even not Jake Sullivan, or me, knew that Hunter Biden was secretly on the board of Burisma. But Joe knew. There are emails in the White House, in the Hunter Biden laptop that I reviewed, Joe would met with Hunter Biden in the White House, in his office, and his partner, Devin Archer, who also profited from Burisma, just days before this trip. So this whole thing was malfeasance. This is Joe Biden enriching his family through his policy. And Jake Sullivan was part of conveying that to the press. That's a conspiracy. And I took that to the FBI 2 years ago in February 2023. I said, I witnessed a crime. This is what I witnessed. And they didn't do anything. And I took it to this special counsel, David Weiss, and he didn't do anything. So I wrote the book. And now there's a book out there. And I think David Weiss should have me in front of him, finally. I think he's still being paid by U.S. taxpayers to do an investigation of Hunter Biden. And I should be a witness in front of his grand jury.
Do you think that that there should be an investigation, even though Hunter Biden has been pardoned, right?
Yes, because Devin Archer wasn't pardoned and Jake Sullivan wasn't pardoned. And Jake Sullivan is the person I named in the FBI witness tip. I said Jake Sullivan's part of the conspiracy. Jake Sullivan's wife is a U.S. congresswoman from New Hampshire. I would hate to think that she knows about this crime that he's committed and is helping him cover it through her official duties. That should be investigated.
What do you think about why there really wasn't a hardcore push to impeach President Biden? Do you have any opinion on that, Mike?
Well, yeah. I went down and talked to congressional investigators. I told them everything that was in my book, and they didn't do anything with it. I think they were either they knew Biden was incapable and they were just hanging back to wait and see what happened. And what happened, fortunately, was Trump got elected. President Trump got reelected. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was really what stopped all the evil that was going on. So I think there was something to that, yeah.
What do you think would be accomplished by investigating now, even though, you know, the main guy that benefited, you know, Joe Biden and, of course, Hunter Biden and others, members of the Biden family, probably will never face real prosecution? What would the purpose be of an investigation at this point? Because sometimes there seems to be this push to, well, that was yesterday's news, and we just need to move on to today's news. What would be important about this?
Well, first of all, it would help us understand what the tragedy that became Ukraine. All the money that was sent over there was sent to people who were corrupt. It was sent through the United States Embassy. USAID, which has been defunded, was a big part of the Biden crime family's operation. So people are complaining about defunding USAID. This is why it had to happen, because they were part of it. So they have to do these investigations. I just sent an email to the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C., headed by Ed Martin, telling him just what I'm telling you. I'm a witness. You guys should have me. Mm-hmm. We're also testing our justice system. Are they really going to follow through and investigate and indict these criminals? Because there's a witness sitting here, and they don't want to talk to me. And I don't understand that, because this is a serious crime. They took taxpayer money by the billions into Ukraine, and they should never have done that. And people died by the millions over there for nothing.
Mike McCormick is with me, former White House stenographer, spent 6 years documenting Joe Biden's every word in front of the press. And his book is an almost insurmountable evil. Before we get to that book, because we were talking more about your last bestseller here about Biden, could the reason nobody wants to look at this, and I'm just speculating, could it be that Ukraine was an equal opportunity grift? And that there are just as many Republicans, ultimately, and they maybe haven't been named yet, who could have been in on the take along with the Biden administration?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. Biden set up the grift in 2014, and, you know, they basically laundered their money through congressional acts. So there was something called the Freedom for Ukraine Act of 2014. And that's when they started sending money over there. And all the people that were involved in it. Well, one of the primary recipients was a woman named Marcy Kaptur. She's a Democratic congresswoman from Ohio. She's been in on the Ukraine grift from the beginning. I'm sure there were Republicans too. I don't didn't dig too far into them, but, you know, they kind of all pop up at the same time.
But you know, usually when you see people, when the whole system seems to want to bury it, that's usually an alarm bell to me when they don't want to go back and revisit this right now.
Well, yeah, the Oversight Committee, I went and talked to their investigators for hours, and they did not do anything with it. And I'm sure it wasn't just Burisma that I was talking about. There was, you know, the stuff that's in my other book, the Insurmountable Evil book, is part of it, too. There was a two-level grift that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden were doing in Ukraine. One was Burisma, which is a natural gas, and the other was a company called Metabiota, which is biowarfare. That's the company that set up the bio labs. And as we're flying over to Ukraine, when I heard Jake Sullivan in 2014 make this statement, Joe Biden was in a meeting with Hunter and Devin Archer, and they were also investors in Metabiota. And this is just days before he flies to Ukraine. And they started setting up the bio labs. So that was the reason that Putin said, we can't have Ukraine setting up with all these bio labs on our doorstep. And they invaded in 2022. So a lot of the grift that the Bidens conducted in Ukraine was just, it's just a tragedy, a human tragedy, a grand scale. And it has to be understood.
An Almost Insurmountable Evil is your latest book here. And this is also involving Ukraine, I think, from a different angle, but this is with the COVID-19 origin and the Catholic Church is involved in this. Can you give us what this one's all about, if you don't mind?
Right. Well, what happened with the Catholic Church was, that's what really shocked me. I was looking in White House visitor logs. I thought to myself about a year ago, I had heard Alex Jones on his radio show go, he was talking about this huge feeling of evil that was around him. And I thought to myself, what's the most evil thing that happened in the White House? And it was Joe Biden's relationship with a guy named Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. Theodore McCarrick was an evil man who hid behind being a Catholic cardinal in the Vatican. Hmm. He raped altar boys and seminarians throughout his career, and the Vatican kept putting him up the ladder because he had close ties to people in Washington. Eventually, in 2013, he was instrumental in working with the Biden administration with then White House Chief of Staff Dennis McDonough. There are numerous meetings between the two to install Pope Francis. And once Pope Francis was installed, McCarrick continued these meetings with McDonough to the point where they started doing policy work through the Vatican to promote Obama-Biden policies. One of them was the immigration free-for-all, the southern border. Pope Francis came out and started talking about, we have to welcome the refugees. Meanwhile, what the Biden people and Obama people were doing was setting up cartel-affiliated networks of drug smuggling and trafficking. That's what's in the book.
Now, would this also include then when you would see the NGOs affiliated with the churches and other religious groups, like the Lutherans? I would even remember when I was living in Fargo, they would talk about this kind of stuff. They were always helping to move the quote unquote migrants around. Is that kind of what you're getting at, Mike?
Right. That all came through something called the Alliance of Prosperity. That was set up by Joe Biden in the summer of 2014. Because if you remember, there were 60,000 kids that showed up at the southern border that year. They called it the unaccompanied minor crisis.
Yep.
That's when McCarrick, this dirty cardinal, goes into the White House and starts meeting with Dennis McDonough, and they set up this network to use NGOs and Catholic charities to funnel money into three small Central American countries, Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. At the time, the president of Honduras was smuggling cocaine into America by the ton, a guy named Juan Orlando Hernandez. He's in prison now for it. But at the time, he was doing it, and they knew it. There was a DEA investigation of him and his brother done months earlier than the summer of 2014, in February of 2014. And they had his brother on recording saying, yeah, we're going to smuggle drugs in with the government, and we're doing it with the Sinaloa cartel. That's who they were affiliated with. So this guy, Hernandez, comes into the White House in July of 2014. He meets with Biden. He meets with Obama. They know he's smuggling drugs in by the ton. He's working with the CIA. And as soon as he leaves and goes back to Honduras, they set up, with McCarrick and McDonough coming into the White House, the Alliance for Prosperity with all these Catholic organizations. This is how they set up the cartel.
Well, this is the mule, too.
Catholic Church.
This is the mules. Pardon? These are mules, yeah. Too, on top of that, right? Drug mules.
Yeah, that's right. Coyotes and mules.
All right. Now, is there any evidence, though, that that President Biden or Vice President Biden or President Obama benefited financially from these kind of behaviors? Or was it just, hey, we want to bring the migrants in, cloward, pivot the United States system, bring it down, man, and, erase America? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, there's certainly evidence that Hunter Biden benefited from the Burisma grift.
Okay.
He also, his investment group was invested in an app that did remittances. So when people come to America and they want to send money back to the old country, they use these remittances. And so he had an investment in that. It's hard to trace the Biden finances, and that's part of what happened with this, the investigation done by the Oversight Committee. They kind of looked at some of the bank transfers, but they didn't look at all of them. So we still don't really know, and that's part of what this investigation gets to, is who was really profiting from it. I think the CIA had a huge role in it, and that's what they're trying to hide. And frankly, President Trump's coming in, and they're dismantling the CIA, dismantling USAID, and it's been long overdue because of all this horrific work. The CIA went into the Vatican. They took over the Vatican with this influence campaign, and to me, that's completely beyond the call. It's evil.
An Almost Insurmountable Evil is the name of the book here. And what is most evil about it? Is it the child trafficking that apparently was facilitated by this, or just the bringing of drugs and criminals into the United States? What are your thoughts on that overall?
Yeah, they put the Catholic Church in league with cartel devils. I mean, there's rape trees on the southern border because of what Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Pope Francis, Dennis McDonough, and Cardinal Theodore McCarrick did to get those cartels involved in human trafficking and the ugly, evil crimes they committed against hundreds of thousands of people over the last, especially during the Biden administration.
All right. It feels like a pretty dirty deal that not that you've written. I mean, you've written about dirty dealing, I guess, is what you're talking about. How has this been received so far? Because are people saying, hey, we want to look at this now? Or is it more of the same of, well, that was last time around. We have to move along and do things better now.
Well, Catholics who care about the Vatican are really rallying behind this book and the release of this book. And I've called for, and a lot of other people are calling for, an investigation led by Vice President J.D. Vance, who's he's achieved the Catholic faith a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So he's new to the Catholic faith, but he's also got a lot of integrity. And so he's got to go in, and they got to get the CIA out of the Catholic Church. And that's getting a lot of traction. And so I think you're going to see that happening more and more. I would like to see, there's an investigation done to, look into the child trafficking that's done through this cartel affiliation by the Catholic Church, and then all the use by the NGOs, the excessive funding of the Catholic NGOs and other religious NGOs into this refugee resettlement program. And what happened with there's 300,000 kids that aren't accounted for. What happened with that? And why was the Catholic Church part of that? I mean, these have to be answered. This is just, it's not America when this is happening, and we're paying for this evil.
The book about an almost insurmountable evil also talks about some hinkiness with the COVID-19 origin. You want to give us a thumbnail of that before you take off?
Yeah, a thumbnail. So Metabiota was part of a
This, oh, once again, this is the Ukraine connection, right? Ukraine connection?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Metabiota. So this is an investment that Hunter Biden had. He started that investment days after coming back from a trip he took with his dad to Beijing in 2013. I was on that trip. Metabiota goes through the 2014 Ebola outbreak, and it becomes part of a $200 million USAID program called Predict 2 that's funded in November of 2014, and it lasts until September of 2019. That's right when the Wuhan pandemic started, September 2019. This Predict 2 was where all the money went to the Wuhan virus through Fauci. That's where it came from, through USAID. We paid for that. And so that's where, you know, Biden had his hands on it. A guy named Ron Klain was all over it. Fauci was all over it. And they started, what happened was Trump came in 2016 and they didn't expect it. And he said, I'm cutting the funding for this virus surveillance. That's what Predict 2 was. And they couldn't stand that. So they worked to get him out of there. From 2017 through 2019, they had this sort of operation telling everybody to be scared of a pandemic. It's coming. It's coming. And then in 2019, when he did cut the funding, that's when the pandemic hit, just then.
What a coincidence.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, what about the Otto Penn scandal? From what you knew as a White House stenographer spending years on the road and in the air with with Vice President Biden at that time in the Obama administration. How does that work? Were you ever around when they're using the Otto Pen to sign orders and sign bills and such? Do you know?
Well, Biden was pretty active and pretty cognizant when I was with him through 2017.
At that
in
time. Okay.
You know, and I started seeing him slip. I was actually on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox News in September of 2020 saying, he's a shell of his former self. He's half man he used to be. And it kind of made news with Fox and the conservatives. It didn't get any play in the regular press. Mm-hmm. And he was half the man. That's what we know now. So the Otto Pen, the Otto Pen was probably something, and I hope they get to the bottom of that too.
But you wouldn't be surprised if somebody else was just operating that and he really had nothing to do or didn't know?
I think what was happening with him in his presidency was behind the scenes, he was cognizant enough to be issuing orders, but he physically couldn't do everything. So he probably knew what was being discussed and gave his assent to it, and then it was auto-penned in without him around. Probably by Jill, probably by a guy named Tom Donilon or Mike Donilon, and a guy named Steve Ricchetti were in there. They were the close ones that were close in there.
What did you know about him personally? Because people always talk about him as if a nice guy, and I hate to see other people that say he was just absolutely arrogant jerk, but do you have an opinion?
Joe Biden's one of the most evil people we've ever had in our politics. He was highly ambitious to be president. He stopped at nothing to do it. So here's a quick idea of what Joe Biden did to get to be the president eventually. He started, before he was vice president, he was running for the presidency against Obama. Mm-hmm. There was a guy who came to Washington named Larry Sinclair, who went to the National Press Club and had a press conference where he said, I smoked crack with Barack Obama, I was a limousine driver, and we had gay sex. Right in the middle of his presentation, he gets arrested by Beau Biden and extradited to Delaware. They hold him in jail in Delaware in the middle of August. This is June 2008 when this guy Sinclair has this thing, right before the convention. By the time he gets out of jail, Joe Biden is the vice president, and he and Barack Obama are off to the races to win the 2008 convention. Sinclair gets out, and all charges are dropped.
And if that story had actually gotten more credibility or street cred, so to speak, and had gotten better play, it might have completely stopped Biden and Obama from getting into power, huh?
Right. And Joe Biden then becomes the vice president who's last man in the room with Barack Obama. So everything that Barack Obama did from then on, Joe Biden had the last say. And a lot of people think Obama was the puppet master and Biden was a puppet. It's the other way around, in my opinion.
Really?
But Biden was the puppet master all along.
That is really interesting, because the impression I got is that there was always a lot of resentment from Biden to Obama.
Yeah, he was ambitious and he wanted to be the president. He would stop at nothing to be president, and he stopped at nothing. He put together this pandemic, he and his operatives. Huh. And that's how evil he is.
An almost insurmountable evil. It's the new book from Mike McCormick. I'm looking at this. I'm buying a copy of it right now as we speak, okay? I'm going to read this. I'm going to have you back, Mike, okay?
Absolutely, Bill. That'll be interesting.
I'm going to watch this. By the way, the subtitle of it is How Obama's Deep State Defiled the Catholic Church and Executed the Wuhan Plandemic. Mike, pleasure talking with you, and I'll get all your information up. You have a main website people can go find out more?
They can buy the book on Amazon, and I have a Substack called Midnight in the Laptop of Good and Evil.
Midnight
in the Laptop of Good and Evil.
I love the name. I love the title. Midnight in the Laptop of Good and Evil. All right. Interesting stuff. Very thought-provoking. Thanks for having been on the show. Be well, okay?
Thanks, Bill.
All right. 838, an almost insurmountable evil. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED.
If you don't plan on cooking tonight, plan on Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Had a few minutes there with Mike McCormick. His latest book, An Almost Insurmountable Evil, How Obama's Deep State Defiled the Catholic Church and Executed the Wuhan Plandemic. And, of course, he was Joe Biden's stenographer. Kind of an interesting experience there back when he was in the Obama administration. Patrick, you had a thought or two about that. Go ahead.
Well, to preface my call, I know that when you became one huge juggler when they had to have you get rid of your call screener, I hope they doubled your pay when they did that.
No, not really, but I'm happy to be here, though.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you there. My small question, on the margins of what Mike was talking about, how much accountability needs to be ladled out toward Jill Biden?
You know, that was a really interesting question. I should have asked that.
I wanted to ask, but okay, you weren't having callers.
Yeah, well, I didn't know, unless I have someone, when I'm in the middle of an interview, I'm not paying attention to calls coming in. It's just the way it is. I pay attention to the interview.
So your thoughts would be good on that.
Yeah, boy. I'm not convinced back in that day, in the Obama day, that she had nearly as much influence, because you know, as even Mike said, Joe was still relatively sharp back in the Obama day. It was near the end of that he started slipping, and I would think that would begin the rise of Jill, of Dr. Jill, as it were. And it's obvious that she ran the puppet there, you know, over the last couple of years. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Would you agree?
Well, she at least had to know everything that was going on.
Yeah, to an extent. Well, you got to protect the family business, right? And Joe was the family business from the looks of it. Yikes.
Yeah, and she was his keeper, and she must have had to be involved with all this.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you.
My suspicion.
Yeah, it's a pretty good suspicion. Maybe we'll have to pick that up in another Conspiracy Theory Thursday talk with Mike. I'm going to read that book. I'll get back to you on it. I'm interested to find out more about it directly. Okay? All right.
I'll see you tomorrow at the conference.
All right. We'll see you then. Thank you.
Great.
Let me grab line two here. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Dale.
Hi, Dale. How are you?
Very good. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
I just thought there's a thing going around the internet that women do, that they challenge each other with the thought, if you're walking alone on a wilderness trail, would you rather encounter a man or a bear?
Right.
And, of course, by far majority of the women would rather encounter a bear. And that's just a terrible idea, that women are prey, and they have to think of themselves as prey. You know, the guy at the park at Central Point is an example. He has to hurt somebody before anybody could do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, well, that's also why I was bringing up, though, if we are not depending too much on police, who really usually, you know, you can't have police everywhere at all times to be able to stop all crime. It's just impossible. It's usually there to police and make sure that most decent people are behaving themselves and taking care of business, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah. Should it not be up to the men of Central Point to start patrolling the park themselves, kind of like what Josephine County has been doing with their park watch, but we will do Central Point Park Watch, that kind of thing, and to make it very uncomfortable for alleged Uncle Pervy here, who is going after the women's and the kids.
Yes, I agree. But unfortunately, that just means he'll move on to somebody else and he'll still have a victim.
Maybe. I appreciate the call, though. We can certainly talk about that here in just a little bit. All right. It is 8:45. If you're on hold, I'll get right to your calls. Give me just a minute, because I did promise I was going to talk with Commissioner Roberts. Hello, Commissioner Roberts, Jackson County. Good to have you on.
Thank you. Good morning.
Now,
I'm here with my vice chair hat.
Ah, you're vice chair of the Jackson County Republican Party. Definitely in a reformation kind of thing. Good stuff going on. Now, we've been talking this morning about Josephine County's event. That's tomorrow with the Patriot Conference. But Jackson County then has the big one, the Lincoln Day Dinner. That's going to be a week from tomorrow at the Rogue Valley Country Club, right?
It is. It's kind of our annual big fundraiser. It's March 22nd. Doors open at 4 and dinner's at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really at the crunch time as far as getting people's registrations and meal preferences. We have to get them to the country club definitely today. Maybe Monday we can add a few. But
yeah,
if people are interested, I will give you a phone number to call if they want to register.
Okay.
It would be best to call. And that number is 541-770-5377.
Okay, one more time. You got a call in there. One more time.
Sure. 541-770-5277 to register, pick your meal preferences, and we'd love to see everybody there. We've got a few seats still available and just some exciting new things. We even have live music this year.
Really?
We've got a new twist on dessert called a dessert dash.
This is sounding very different from past Lincoln Day dinners that I've emceed. Now I'll be the MC. By the way, I want the filet. Both Linda and I want the filet. Okay, just so you know.
Okay.
All right.
Medium, right?
Yeah, medium rare.
Well,
medium rare.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, we have a great MC. I was going to mention that. But we have a really dynamic keynote speaker that's going to light up the room. Amazing woman. Oh, she's known as Dr. Kim, and she's a business owner. And
no kidding.
And a really great speaker. And then we have Congressman Benz will be here, hopefully with a great update from Washington, D.C.
All right. Looking forward to it all. And so get the tickets, register, find out more. 770-5277, 770-5277. I'll put that
correct
up there. And let's hope we get a few more people. And I will see you there next Saturday. Okay? Thank you.
We'll see you there. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thanks, Commissioner. It's 8:47 and change. You're on hold. Get right to you here. A little bit of open phone time. By the way, before we take off, Diner 62 Real American Quiz is coming, too.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
This is an emergency
dish.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED. And you're waking up with the Bill Meyer Show.
Joel up at the Iron Gate was just telling me that Joe Pags, last night, I wasn't listening to his show last night because I went to bed, but Joe was swatted a few days ago. That's when somebody calls in a fake crime and then SWAT teams show up with guns, making a false emergency call, claiming a violent crime in progress, and so they get armed police to show up, and it happened to Joe Pags. Huh, we have that. We have Tesla's being attacked. We have KSLM radio being having its windows broken in. Conservative radio station in Salem. No connections, right? All right. 770-5633. We'll grab a couple of calls, and then it's going to be the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. So you might want to call in for that, okay? Hi, good morning. Line one. Who's this?
It's Joel again. Hey.
Joel, I already said what you got, what you need.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say, make sure that you give the local police department your personal cell number in case they call you and they'll know if it's a prank or not.
Oh, I don't think they're going to care, but thanks for the suggestion. All right. Let me go to line three. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Well, hi, Bill. This is Monty Jim.
Hello, Monty.
I'm out here in Grants Pass.
Yes.
Actually out there towards Merlin. normally I like to listen to you on Thursdays, but I don't usually call in on it. But I had a thought, and I thought maybe you might be interested in it. You know, all religions and all governments are conspiracies in order to comply the people to do what is acceptable and unacceptable behavior. And I thought, but in all of them, the one thing that is true is that everyone has a choice. Nobody says the choice has to be good, but everybody does have a choice. I mean, if you pull up to a stop sign, you turn left and you can buy a winning lottery ticket.
Right.
You turn right, you get a speeding ticket. You go straight ahead and you hit a pothole or get out of your car and walk away. The choices don't have to be good, but you do have a choice every time, all the time.
And what would be the conclusion from something like that? What are you hoping to draw from that?
That's what life is. It is a conspiracy by what your parents teach you, what your religion teach you, what your government says that you have to do. They're all conspiring at different levels to get you to comply with what they want you to do. And it's the same in religion. But the only thing that is universal in all of them, because religions survive government, but the individual can choose what they're going to believe, whether it be, you know, Valhalla, heaven, or, you know, paradise. You all get a choice as to what you're going to believe and what you're going to do. I mean, in myself, 1968, I turned 19, and I had a choice. I could go to war, go to jail, go to Canada, or just hide the rest of my life. Choices. And a lot of people don't realize that they still have a choice in everything they do. And that's just the thought that I had, and I thought you might...
Yeah, do you think that there is that we're coming up to... Do you think we're coming more into a time of not complying?
Yeah. You see that it seems to reach these plateaus at various times when whatever the conspiracy is for compliance, if people say, no, maybe not, because I don't believe that.
All right. Joe, I appreciate the call. Thanks for making it, too. 770-5633, Diner 62 Real American Quiz. That's what we're going to do here in just a couple of minutes. And if you've not won this in the last 60 days, you could win it next. They delivered a half ham special to me this morning. Big, big piece of ham, yummy eggs and the taties and the toast and everything. That's on special still, 11:15, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9. Given the price of eggs, I don't know how they can do it. But God bless them, all right? All your hearty breakfast favorites and lunch favorites, they are all there. 770-5633. We're going to be going back to 1836, a little bit of history. Maybe you can win that next.
0730.
It was yesterday in history, March 13th, 1836. Sam Houston ended up retreating from Santa Anna's Armory. You know that one. Revolutionary Texans had only formally announced their independence from Mexico 11 days earlier, and the separatists chose Sam to be the commander-in-chief. Houston immediately departs from Gonzales, Texas, where the main force of the Revolutionary Army was stationed. And when he arrived, he found the Texas Army, 374 poorly dressed and ill-equipped men. Most of them had no guns or military experience. And before he could prepare the troops, word arrived that Santa Anna had wiped them out a week earlier. And so he decided to retreat from that. But anyway, April 21st, he came back. And he engaged Santa Anna's force, nearly twice his size. How many Texas rebels under his command were killed during that battle? That's the question this morning. Let's go to Kathy. Hello, Kathy. How you doing?
Hi. Fine, thank you.
So he retreats yesterday in 1836, comes back about a month later, and then is able to beat them. He engages them. So how many were killed? How many Texas rebels died? 2, 22, 44, 88, or 188? What do you
22.
Say? 22. You're going to say 22. 22 sounds like a good number, right? Nice round. No, it's not that one.
Thanks.
I'm sorry.
Bye.
Let me go to Todd. Hello, Todd. We're talking about how many ended up dying in that battle.
Right, Bill. Let's go 88.
88? Was it 88? No. Wasn't that either. So we're talking either 2, 44, or 188. I go to Tom. Hello, Tom. What do you say?
I say 88.
You'd say 88. You think it's even more. No, it's not that either. All right, let me go to John. Hello, John. It's either 2 or 188. What do you say?
I'll have to go with 188.
You're going with 188. Oh, man, we're getting down to the bottom here. Who is going to do it? Oh, gosh, the stupid auto answer is not. I can't go to the lines here. Come on, stupid auto answer. Okay, there we go. Are you calling back to try again? Who's this?
I'll go with 188.
Yes.
You're going
What's your name?
No, my name is Don.
All right, Don, is it two or two? Just tell me that.
Two,
yes. I mean,
you're a winner!
Sorry, I hit the wrong button. Congratulations. Had 783 troops in that attack on Santa Ana. He only lost a couple. That's not a bad winning percentage at all, okay? Hang on. We'll get you taken care of and get you into the Diner 62 Real American Quiz winning circle, all right? We'll do this again probably Monday, Tuesday.
Since 1938, Blue Star Gas has been serving Jackson and Josephine counties for all your residential and commercial propane needs. That's a long time and for good reason. Blue Star Gas employees live, play, and volunteer here in the Rogue Valley and truly care about their customers. As a customer, you can count on Blue Star Gas to provide excellent service for decades and generations to come. For more information, visit BlueStarGas.com. That's BlueStarGas.com.
Are you using extension cords outside? You likely need Completed Electric Plus to install an all-weather plug where it's most convenient. Need a plug for your power equipment? Completed. Pond pump? Completed. A string of lights on your pavilion? Completed. How about a TV on the patio? Completed Electric Plus installs electric plugs quickly, expertly, and affordably with certified technicians. Specializing in residential electric jobs, call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit CompletedElectricPlus.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Strandberg with Valley View Nursery, and I'm on KMED.
Good guy to go to when you need that kind of work, too. All right. We're going to wrap it up for this week. I'll tell you what, going to catch you tomorrow at the Patriots Conference in Josephine County. The email, Bill at BillMeyerShow.com, and we will visit again Monday. You be here, okay?
Southern Oregon's place to talk, KMED and KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, a bi-coastal media station.
It's 9 o'clock at KMED.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. U.S. Senate remains in the spotlight in the debate over a continuing resolution to avoid a partial government shutdown at midnight tonight.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has announced he's ready to start the process.